Hello, I'm Conrad Swift, and welcome to the Cardano Convo podcast, a podcast that gives a glimpse into the Cardano ecosystem. The Cardano Convo provides an easy-to-digest explanation of the projects that are being built, thoughts, and what's going on within the Cardano community. Today, I'll be talking with Jason, the founder of the NFT game Duo. Without further ado, let's get to the interview. Hello, Jason. It's nice to have you on the show, and thank you for taking the time to talk with us today and answer a few questions about the work you've been doing with Duo.
Thanks, man. I am so excited to be here. It's been a lot of fun building this community, and I've got some really fun stories to share about this incredible community that is happening with Duo, playing games every single day.
Oh, yeah. I've seen your Discord. It's fantastic. But I do typically begin with a couple of questions. The first, of course, is being, what brought you into crypto? What is your background? What brought you here in general?
Yeah, well, I'll roll the timeline back a little bit, because really the foundation was somewhere between throwing hay bales in the field and cleaning out corn bins. I decided I wasn't going to be a farm kid for the rest of my life. And that really led me into tech, which came through a formal degree in mathematics. And I kind of taught myself how to code in college and outside of college in the first business that I ran, which was a web development, web design company, and had a ton of fun. And as 2016 rolled around, I found crypto really for the second time. I remember my dad, I've got one of those stories where my dad's like, hey, Jason, you're the tech guy. Like, here's some money, put it in Bitcoin. I'm like, sounds complicated. No, thanks. Or regret Oof. That to the day. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a humble portfolio that reminds me what that dollar amount is every day that I go. So, but that being said, I mean, we've all kind of got those stories depending on when we got into crypto. So, really got in heavy in 2016, was doing a lot of research around white papers, particularly the mathematical models, the token economics behind all of that. That was really fascinating to me. Started trading a little bit back then, and then ended up kind of coming back to it in let's see, it would have been beginning of this year. It started to intersect with some of the things that we were doing at my work, at my startup right now. And then it led to some really cool learnings through the Plutus Pioneer program, and ultimately NFTs here on Cardano, and this idea of real utility through NFTs long-term. That really fascinated me. So here we are today.
Oh, wow. That's a really unique history, because as you said, everyone's got that story of if only I'd invested, or man, my college roommate told me about this and I should have mined it, or I should have bought when he told me to, and now it's Bitcoin pizza all over. Like, so no, everyone's got that story. But you were talking about games and startups. So could you give us a quick rundown of what Duo is, your NFT project?
Yeah. So, in short, I remember playing some of the first games I ever played were flight simulator games on DOS. So That might age me a little bit, yeah. But I'm not actually that old. My parents were just farmers, and so we had old computers. But I remember DOS flight simulators. So it's like lines and a few gauges on the screen. You kind of think you're flying somehow. And then Chex Quest was one of the first games I remember. If anyone out there remembers the Chex cereal, used to come with a CD that you could put in, and it was kind of like Doom, but kid friendlier, right? Slime monsters instead of crazy aliens and zombies and stuff.
Yeah.
And so gaming is something I've always been passionate about. I really love it. It's a core part of my childhood and background, as it is with many people. And as we were exploring some of the NFTs in my current role as a technical startup founder for a company called Quick, we found that there is a huge opportunity for longer-term utility. and actually some mathematical models that show the number of interactions that you have with an NFT increase the value over time. So that's some of the work that we're doing right now, is to see if we can formalize that into a, maybe not necessarily a full mathematical proof, but at least a model that shows the number of interactions as a network grows increases the value of something over time, because it's a provably unique asset. It's something that we can keep in a game. So if it's a game piece, then that has many interactions over the lifespan of that game piece. If it's a digital game piece, all of a sudden that becomes a multi-generational asset. So how do we like kind of redefine what we thought were game pieces, whether it's like cards, like, you know, physical cards, you know, something like this, that has a finite lifespan, right? They get lost, they get torn, they get destroyed, go buy a new pack.
Yeah.
But you actually have a lot of value out of every interaction you play. That's just not converted into monetary value like we can do with token economics and NFT gaming. So Duo is a simple game. It's based off of the concept of pairing two types of cards. So we have black cards, which are prompts. So it's kind of like sets up a joke. And then we have color cards, which are punchlines that take the joke in one direction or another based off of humor type.
Yeah.
That humor type is represented by the color of the card. So like red cards are kind of a dark humor. Blue cards are like a wittier humor. And we said like everybody around the world in this growing crypto ecosystem can play a game where you're making a joke with your friends. It's community based. You get to play with friends, maybe with strangers, and then just have a good time and hang out together, relax together through gaming. Or if you are a competitive spirit, then you can dive in a little bit deeper. And we've built in enough complexity to have layers of competitive gameplay that we think we can develop over the next year. So Duo is just that. It's an NFT-based card game. And you can play it right now in pre-alpha in our Discord server. It's actually a really like rudimentary early design of the gameplay, because we want to learn from what's going to work at scale, what's not going to work at scale, based off of what can we get, you know, 30 to 600 people to do in a Discord server. And so that's what we've been testing out now. How does that work? What are the things that don't feel great from a user experience that we can refine in gameplay and then deliver next year as we roll out our full alpha gameplay next year?
Oh, yeah. And it seems this has a bit of a apples to apples or Cards Against Humanity feel, with almost like a Magic the Gathering color wheel feel to it.
Yeah, I haven't heard the Magic the Gathering thing element to it, but I have heard the Cards Against Humanity or Apples to Apples reference, because, yeah, I mean, everybody's familiar with that type of gameplay, which is pairing two cards that that have this subjective vote, right? Like,
yeah,
whoever is in charge of that round, in our case, whoever is the black card owner, because they can own this NFT, when they put that into active gameplay, part of their responsibility for that round is to pick a winner, right?
Yeah.
And that could be, I just want to pick the rarest card that shows up. That's my whole strategy as a black card. Or I want to pick all the dad joke humor. So if you hit me with a dad joke humor, I'm probably going to vote for that. Or maybe there's like nostalgia. Like, there's so many nuances that you can uncover. And we believe over time, there's an incredible opportunity to track that whole data stream of like, okay, so like which wallets vote for which types of cards, and, you know, which ones do they end up accumulating or buying over time. And I think there's going to be a lot of cool, like, deeper strategy that our players will figure out that we probably will learn from them more than they'll learn from us. So I'm excited for that moment. It's going to be a lot of fun to see that develop.
Oh, it sounds really, that you're trying to cater to every type, whether it be, again, as you said, like the person who likes dad jokes or the more casual player, or you've got somebody that's like, I'm going to look at these algorithms. This wallet has always chosen this color card, so this is my best bet to try to win. So it's nice that you're kind of catering to every audience that way.
Well, and that really comes back to what my core vision is for, you know, the next 10 years of my life, is really geared towards helping accelerate the adoption of crypto worldwide. I've said this before, but the reasoning behind that is we, as people who are in crypto, probably most of your listeners who are listening to this podcast have a stake or a position in crypto of some sort. Once you're in, you get to play in a decentralized global economy with very little friction compared to the existing banking or financial economies. And if we can get people in through a fun little game that is simple to learn, it's simple to pick up. And I knew that I knew this was going to work when I pitched this idea to my barista. And they're like, wait, so I could play this game and maybe over time earn enough money to buy my coffee the next day. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can do that. That like blew their mind. And they're like, I'm in. What do I need to do? And then the fact that they actually went and did the things that they needed to do, like onboarding into crypto is not actually easy, at least here in the US, right now. Like you still have to jump through some hoops. It takes a few days and you got to connect your bank account to Coinbase or whatever the path is. It's not as simple as swipe a credit card, buy the thing. And when I saw that happen and somebody who was not in crypto at all was now in crypto because of this game that we were creating, that was the moment in which I said, this is it. This can help advance and accelerate the adoption of crypto worldwide. Because now that's one more person in a decentralized economy, and that's going to benefit the power of this decentralized network.
Oh, and so I completely agree. And actually, I heard this from Aiden from PlayerMint, that he talks about how gamers are some of the best people to integrate into crypto because we've already been working digitally speaking. Like already are used to that. The idea of a digital asset is not that far away. Like if somebody plays CSGO, you've bought skins, you understand that they have intrinsic value. Some of the knives even are like thousands of dollars. So like these concepts are, and especially if you can get somebody into crypto through a game, then it's an easier way to onboard somebody into the crypto space. Because I know when I started, I had to do so much research because I got into it for financial reasons to begin with. And for example, I didn't know what a blockchain was. I didn't know what proof of work was. I had to do so much research to figure that out. But imagine you play a game and you go, oh, because this is how the blockchain works. This is how turns work. It's like, oh, that makes sense. Like, because it's something they care to learn about and therefore they innately learn about it.
Right. Well, and I think you've got your digital gamers and then you've also got your like physical board game or card game type gamers. And there is an opportunity, I believe, to expand past the digital gamer block that is onboarding very heavily into crypto right now into like, okay, what's the next fringe of that? Like, what's this gamer group look like? It is, maybe they have played computer games, maybe it's console-based games, but maybe a lot of their gaming experience growing up is physical games with other people. And it's the community element that I think is so critical right now. I mean, we are starved for community as humanity today, especially after the last couple of years. And so this online community, this opportunity to connect with other like-minded people and to continue building something that can be individually personal to you. So if you like a type of humor, that's the type of humor you're going to play. That's the type of humor you're going to gravitate to. If you don't like that, that's okay. Like, other people are going to play their game. you could play your game.
Awesome. And
yeah. And then global, like we knew out of the gate, it had to be simple to learn. The gameplay had to be drop dead simple because everything else is already complicated.
Yeah.
We knew that we had to be able to generate a lot of game pieces over a long period of time. Because so for reference, our Genesis deck that we're minting right now, it's designed to be a longer term mint so that we can get new players in. It's not great for us to have a few wallets that own a lot of pieces. It's better for us to have a lot of wallets that own a few pieces, or at least, you know, a couple of packs maybe to play with. And so as we were looking at that, we said, okay, like let's do 55,000 cards. And then we have packs of 10 color cards and individual black cards that you can buy. And over time, if you think about it, let's say somebody ends up owning a pack, so like one black card and 10 color cards, which, hey, that may be kind of like a standard position for somebody who is playing this game. Might may end up being our average. But if that's the case, we're looking at 5,000 players in our network. 5,000 players is a good start, but it is nothing compared to some of the global gamer bases that can be created. So if that's a good start, the assets have to be generative. Like, we can't rely on just us controlling and creating those assets. We have to allow there to be a level of dynamic based content created by our users, voted on by our users, and then our users are rewarded for creating that content and distributing it out into our game economy. So for us, it's this focus on how do we reward active players based off of their activity and the creation of new pieces that they sell out through the marketplace, the ones that they don't want, or duplicates of the ones they already have, to new players coming into the game. And so this is their reward for helping build and grow the game itself. And new players get entry points into playing Duo in the way that they want, right? They're picking the types of cards, or maybe they're unlocking those packs through our players. So for us as a development team, we can fund the project out of the gate to continue building and developing it. And then over time, we could really release that ownership out to the community in more of a decentralized social NFT game.
Oh, that would be amazing to be able to have, as you said, a decentralized social game on Cardano. That would be phenomenal. I do have some questions, though, for example, about the cards. So the black card, for example, would be like the one that in this case, the card czar would be deciding which of the non-black cards, because the black card is, there's only one in a round, right?
Yep.
And so how many different, like, so you said there's categories, like there might be red or blue for more dad humor, etc. That's why I thought Magic for a bit, because like with Magic, there's different color, like manas for different types of spells.
Right.
So that's why I didn't know how many, for example, there would be. And the other question I have just on this, not the black card yet, but just on the ones you could play in response, are you able to edit them and make them whatever you want? Or is it going to be a grab bag of possible responses?
So right now, the way it works, and I say right now because we're early days, in many ways, we're learning what works based off of how our community wants to play the game. Right? We think we have a fun way to play it, but that might completely change once we have 1,000 people trying to play it. And so we want to be flexible to that. And I'll caveat everything I say on this podcast and anywhere else I talk about this is, as we approach alpha gameplay, this is an experiment and we are trying to learn what is the best way to play the game that the community wants. We'll be as transparent as possible about what we see working from a token economic model to support that type of gameplay. But long-term, the model that we have now is, as black cards enter into gameplay, and think of this as, I don't know if you know, you or any of your listeners have gone through a, like a matchmaking round within any online game. Mm-hmm. But let's say there's 10 color card players. And those are players who are trying to like get the best punchline. Like this is the one that black card owner is going to pick. So it's active gameplay. So you enter into a match. Match would be about 3 minutes long. There'd be multiple matches in the course of a round, which may be like an hour long. We'll play with those times. But you enter into a match. It's about a 3 minute window in which the first 60 seconds is you and 10 other people that you've been matched with. Maybe some of those are friends from a lobby you brought in, and maybe some of them are strangers from other lobbies. And you get 5 black cards shown to you that you as a group of 10 get a vote on. And you're voting in the first 60 seconds, which one of those cards do you want to play on? So let's say that one card gets like 60% of the vote. Next one gets 20%. Next one gets 10 and 10. We do a weighted dice roll that says, okay, the 60%, that's my curtain falling down behind
me.
Yep. The weighted dice roll says that 60% card is most likely to be voted as the one that you play on, but it could be the 10%. So like there's always a chance that you get the minority vote black card to play on. Then those 10 players go into the round playing their best color card, so their best NFT that they have in their existing hand. And these are cards that aren't currently tied up in other matches, cards that they have for this specific match that they can use. And they would play that NFT, put it into the match round along with a token, so like a gameplay token. So you have 10 tokens that are entering into the pot from this color card side. And the goal at that point is to wait for the black card owner to pick a winner. So the black card owner also has to put up their own tokens to secure the round, meaning that if they don't complete the action of picking a winner, their tokens get awarded out to the black, to the color card owners. It's kind of like a, hey, sorry they didn't finish a round and pick a winner, but you guys get something for your time. And when the black card player does pick a winner, they get that deposit back, as well as some new tokens issued out by our network. And so this is where we'll have our own native gameplay tokens in time, ready for alpha. And then the color card player who placed the winning card, they win the pot, right? They get the 10 tokens from the color card side. So there's a high incentive to win and play the game, but also to participate in active roles, right? So you increase your winning chances. And those numbers may change over time. They actually probably will change. We're still running through the models to see what is the rate of distribution that we can deliver to the network at the same time we're adding in new players. How do we balance out incentives for creating new cards and new decks by the players, but then also balance that out with gameplay and how many tokens do they need in order to unlock new decks and new packs of cards and so on and so forth. There's a lot to figure out, but we're having fun doing it so far.
Oh yeah. There's anytime you make a game, there's so much you have to balance out with this, especially when you're trying to create an incentive, because for example, something that just pops into mind is it a fungible token that they'll be getting for winning a round? For example, like a duo token or.
Yeah, it'll be a native gameplay token. So it'll be a fungible token in that sense, but you'll keep your NFTs. So after all of your matches, let's say that you can run like 10 matches in an hour, right? Mm-hmm. So 30 minutes out of the hour, you can run a bunch of matches back to back. There may be some wait time for matchmaking, things like that. Let's say you can get 10 matches into a round and you win 2 of those, right? So yeah. In an hour, maybe 20 tokens out of that active gameplay. And then over time, as those tokens collect and as you earn more, depending on what the price of those tokens is, those are liquid through the trading market. And then you can use those tokens probably in some mechanic in game to unlock new NFTs, new packs of cards to sell to new players coming into the network. So,
oh yeah. And so with this, what one thing I'm thinking of for balance wise is what would stop, let's say you and I are friends and you have a black card. I have, it doesn't matter what color cards I have. You and I just play a ton of games back and forth, to try to rack up as many tokens as possible. And so I know if there's a system, somebody will try to game said system. So that's why incentive structures are important. I'm glad that you guys are, you understand the gravity of what you're doing. And therefore you're not going, we're going to have this right the first time, you guys, it'll be awesome. It's like, we're going to be figuring some things out. There's a ton of things where, like, because there's a lot of moving parts. Like, if you release just an NFT project, it's like, okay, you just, for a lot of them, it's, I have to make sure I have 10,000 JPEGs all on the blockchain. We got this. Like, that's one part. That's not that difficult. But then having a NFT game that has all these things, it's, so I understand the necessity for an alpha. I'm glad, again, that you're not going into this thinking, it'll be hunky dory. We'll not run into any problems, you guys. Like, I'm glad that you're down to earth with people on that because, again, that is a lot of moving parts, and you've got to build the right incentive structure to get the gameplay that the community is wanting.
Right. Well, and here's the reality: it's like there's a lot of game theory that we're working on to try and figure out what are the appropriate incentive structures where, like, how do we help enable our players unlock and create new content in game and then sell that to other players. Now, we as a company will likely release more decks in collaboration with streamers, in collaboration with brands, but we're not going to be releasing decks like 55,000, right? We'll be doing limited runs of decks that help benefit the overall ecosystem. But the real content is going to come as being unlocked by our players. So what I mean by that is we're taking the approach, at least for now, where our community of players are the primary recipients of value, so dollars or ADA or native tokens from Duo.
Yeah.
In terms of when I do this action in the game, I get the right to sell that pack out to new players, not we the developers, you the player. And I think that's a really important nuance because our strategy for longer term money and value out of this ecosystem is very transparently through a marketplace transaction. So we are only taking a small transaction fee on exchanges through our marketplace, which incentivizes us well. We have to create a great marketplace experience, probably a great wallet experience as well, to be honest. And then a reason for you to participate in that marketplace versus others that exist out there. So it keeps us focused on providing value to our users. Instead of saying like, we'll just go and like DLC, 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 drop packs, devalue all the existing NFTs. We don't want to do that. And so by giving our players the upside from minting out those packs, maybe we'll take a piece of that on that initial drop of new NFTs into the ecosystem, but it won't be the majority.
Oh, I'm glad you're not going with the EA model. I don't know about...
I hate EA.
Oh my God. It's... Oh, you thought the $55, $60 was full for a full game? DLC. Yeah, no. Which is
bugs
actually
or features.
Yeah, which is exactly what was meant to be the whole game, but we knew we could make more money. That makes me happy. That all on its own makes me happy to know that you're not nickel and diming your community. That's fantastic.
Yeah, well, I mean, like this is a game for gamers by gamers. Like we want to ultimately let the community take over a lot of ownership of this. And, you know, that is honestly a little bit scary in some ways because it may not fully align with the vision that I had out of the gate. But I also hope to see that evolve in a way that is beneficial beyond my own experience. I mean, I'm still younger. Not many gray hairs on this head yet. So I think that there's a lot of different demographics, cultures, ages, types of gamers around the world that would enjoy something like this beyond just my own experience in gaming. So I want to make sure that we get enough of a framework to learn some things, to have a fun experience. And if we can add value to the community on a global scale along the way, hey, I'm very excited for that.
Oh, yeah. No, I would imagine anyone would be. I do have another question with regard. I know you said rarity earlier. So yep. How is rarity going to be determined? Is it based upon the color? How are you determining rarity in essence?
Yeah, we've got a couple of elements to rarity right now. So when you look at every card in Duo, there's a background color for the color cards. On the black cards, we represent that with a gradient border, actually, with different colored gradients. So a plain background color for the color cards is a common card. If you do a two-color gradient, so you'll see cards with two color gradients. Those are rare cards. And then the next step up from that is a multicolor gradient, which is a super rare card. And we actually have some rarity charts breaking down what that looks like and what you can expect from these cards, you know, how rare is your card and these other ones. So we have different layers that we put into our algorithm to kind of determine how many of the super rare cards should we have, how many of the rare cards should we have. And then you have the text layer. So what is the text of the card? For the color cards, we've started with, there's 45 cards out of 50,000 that have the same text on it. Now, the background color could be common, rare, super rare, but there's 45 cards which are marked with a number at the bottom that says number 2 out of 45 that all have like a punchline. So in some of the early material, some of the early versions of these designs was what gives me uncontrollable gas?
Yeah.
It's the black card, right? And I was playing around with some options and then I just thought of like, oh, Ethereum. Like
yeah.
How meta, like a Cardano game is like poking fun at Ethereum and saying like, oh, Ethereum gives me uncontrollable gas because it's always freaking expensive.
Yeah, the gas fees are just insane. And I saw that on your website too, that you have that combination.
Yeah, the first two mint dev mint cards that I did under a different policy ID were actually those two cards, which were, you know, what gives me uncontrollable gas, Ethereum. And so there's 45 cards in our Genesis deck that say Ethereum on them. And then they have a different level of rarity. So some are common, some are super rare. And then on top of that, we added an element in the bottom right-hand corner. So in this Genesis deck, it's a signature, AGS, the initials AGS. And that stands for Aussie Gingersnap, which is the name that I go by on Discord and a lot of the different gamer channels that I'm on online.
Yeah.
And so, that's fun. But it also allows us to do collaborative work. So if we want to work with a streamer, for example, who wants to give the majority of, the revenue from a deck launch, let's say it's 50 cards that they want to do is kind of an exclusive deal that helps provide clean water to a country or to a community. We can say, okay, we'll work with you. We'll be very transparent about where those funds are going and help document that. But we can also add value into our community by creating a level of rarity within those cards. And if there's only 50 with that individual's signature or logo or stamp or whatever, it gives us a unique way to brand content, but also show and remind people like, what was the purpose of this? Like, the purpose of this with this streamer or with this influencer in the ecosystem or a stake pool operator, for example, was to benefit the core cause that they believe in. And so, again, building value into the community, ways to say, like, here's what we believe in and in this way. And, oh, by the way, you can find our cards, cards in Duo. And if you support us by buying them in the secondary market, now maybe we adopt a royalty model too, where a percentage of every future transaction does a kickback to that same cause. So.
Oh, yeah. And I know that with a lot of smart contracts, they're moving towards having a royalty feature, for example. That'd be something awesome to see. One question I did have with regards to gameplay is, so for example, if it's one black card and 10 color cards, what happens if there's not enough like players playing black cards or not enough people with color cards? Is it going to be, for example, one solution I can just kind of throw out off the top of my head is having a bot that will use, like, let's say you've got a deck and like the developers have decks, and as a way of almost allowing switching out of cards in some other sense, you go, okay, here's the bot will play this black card and will choose based upon it could have some algorithm or.
You know, that's a great question. I think it's one that a lot of people don't ask, maybe because they don't think about it. The simple answer is, I hope to God that we never have fewer than, you know, the minimum number of players.
Yeah. Oh, that would be a bad sign.
Yeah, that's a bad day for a global game is like, oh, yeah, we have zero players online.
Yeah.
No, so I think the simple answer to that is I don't fully know. That's also why we want to run through alpha gameplay. We have some theories around how we can incentivize and disincentivize certain game theory actions or certain agent actions within game theory. But there is a level of gameplay is based off of a certain size of community. And it doesn't actually have to be that big to fill a few rooms of people. And so you get into this situation where you're either managing what is the wait time for matchmaking or how do I get plugged into a group, which means that timing of matches is important. Connecting players is important. And then having a few options out of the gate, but not a lot of ways to filter the types of games that you want to play. And so if that means out of the gate, we're taking players from all over the world and letting them kind of play because we don't have to filter on region. We don't have to filter on time zone. We don't have to filter on category of card or humor type that they want to play on. We just say, you're a color card player. These are the black cards in the pool. Here you go. We can connect so many groups of 10, or maybe this one has 6, maybe that one has 9. There certainly will be a minimum number of players required to start a match. We do know that. Don't know what that number is fully, but there will be a minimum required. And then there will be a maximum. Maybe that's 10. Maybe it's more. It certainly is hard in our Duo pre-alpha gameplay because what we do is we have a channel open in our Discord server and you can post once every 6 hours. So slow mode is on, which means if you screw up or you say hi or something accidentally in that channel, you'll still get a shot before we pick a card for the day. And then we're putting out one black card from people who have minted black cards and are posting them up in a When I Minted channel. So we pick one of the existing community black cards and then we post that in the channel every day. And then people get to put their color cards in and kind of, we as a team pick a winner every day. And then we also are allowing write-in submissions. So if you don't have cards yet, you just want to write something funny, we are still taking that. So that's part of our discovery is, can we allow players to write their own content? maybe that doesn't become an NFT out of the gate. Maybe there's a certain type of gameplay for that. We're not quite sure, but there's something there to writing your own content instead of being limited to a collection of cards that you can buy. So I'm not quite sure how all of that will pan out, but we've got some ideas.
Oh, of course. And so I would recommend checking out their Discord. So to jump away from the previous topic a little bit and to dive into this just for a minute. So in the Discord, I've been in there as well, and I've actually played around in that channel that you've talked about. And I know that you guys have already started with the token sales, and a lot of entries were proposed by the community. What are some of the funniest ones you've seen?
Oh man, we were just laughing about this the other night. There was one, the black card was, she's a lady in the streets, blank in the sheets, right? So you can already see the type of humor that this black card is carrying, right? Yep. It's kind of setting it up for something a little risque.
Yeah.
And
a little spicier,
right? And the color card that ended up winning, which actually was a rare color card, it was pretty cool, was your mom, right? So she's a lady in the streets, your mom in the sheets. And it was like, oh.
It's like playing COD all over again.
yeah, that's right. Another really funny one. So one of my favorite color cards, and honestly, it is... we added this into our database of cards to mint once we saw it in the kind of like pre-alpha gameplay. So pre-alpha gameplay that happened before we minted any cards, it was just write-in submissions. So we were taking some of our black cards that we were going to be minting and showing them kind of as teasers, as examples, and then people just write in whatever the response was.
Yeah.
And I'll have to go back and check it out. I actually forget what the black card prompt was, because we've had so many good ones over the last month that we've been running through here. But I will never forget the response, which I was already scrolling through, and you can think about it like there's, you know, over 700 people in a server at that point, and yeah, everybody's posting in like, hey, I want some ADA for if I get picked as the winner here.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one, as I was scrolling through, it was AOL CD-ROMs, and I just lost it, because it was like, oh, you know, what's super frustrating or what's like overkill, whatever. And it was like AOL CD-ROMs. And I was like, I remember getting so many of those suckers in the mailbox, like AOL CD-ROMs. Hey, get some hours on the internet, like sign up for AOL, da 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 da. And we would use we would hang them up from trees and shoot them with BB guns, because there's just so many of these suckers that got mailed to us. And I was like, that wins today. I was like, hey,
yeah,
guys, this is the winner for today, no matter what. And it was funny, because we had a younger team member, and he was like, well, I don't get it, like, why is that?
Oh, God, I'm not that old, and I can remember those things.
Oh man. Yeah. So it was kind of some nostalgia, but that actually ended up making it into the Genesis deck as a color card nice, to be minted. So if you or whatever the Discord guy's name, gal's name is that's out there, and that was your write-in for the day, congratulations. It made it into the Genesis deck because you wrote something incredibly funny.
Goodness. It's the creativity. Sometimes the community can bring things to light that one didn't even think about until they saw it. To jump back to the topic of Duo as opposed to the Discord, what kind of interface do you plan on using? Do you plan on going to mobile, or is it going to start out in the browser, or...
Yeah, there's a lot of architecture questions that we will be answering as we go. So I am a huge proponent for just-in-time development. So making those decisions now in a solidified, assured sense is basically cutting myself short when 3 months from now, if I can still make that decision with enough time to get it shipped to market, I'm 3 months smarter than I am today. So, yeah, or at least I have 3 months more experience. Maybe, yeah, I've gotten a little bit more stubborn or ignorant. But ultimately, I envision this being able to be played here and being able to be played on your desktop, on your computer. Because as a gamer, you are going to spend some time in front of a screen, whether that's a small screen or a big screen. So there should be a way to play the game, at least in some version, some sense on both. Now, is that a fully native app on your phone and a web experience on the computer? I don't know. If we had infinite resources and infinite time, then yeah, we'll get there. But I think we want to make sure that we have a robust community-built experience, something that we are not compromising on in terms of its ability to scale globally. So some of the things we have to think about from an architecture standpoint is it's going to be online 24/7. It's going to be running in multiple languages. It's going to be running around the world. Maybe we don't start there, like with all the different language translations, but we'll want to take that into account because different cultures have different types of humor, and that is they not do. Best expressed in a non-native language. So as we grow, I'm sure we'll be looking for groups and communities around the world to help us create funny experiences within their own language, which I really only speak English well and a few others in broken sentences and get myself through a country basic traveling.
Yeah. So. Oh no, that's most Americans. And I'm the same way. I speak English and sometimes that's a bit shaky. And then the rest, it's like, I can ask where to use the bathroom if I'm in like, but that's about it. Yeah. No, I feel you. And that is a huge leap, for example, because humor is a very subjective thing. And that's each culture, each language, like each aspect of social interaction that develops humor is going to have its own facets. Like what would be funny in English may not be funny in Mandarin because we're using a play on words that doesn't translate over. Like we might make a joke that, oh, this word is spelled the exact same as this word, but has a completely different meaning. Whereas those are two different words in Mandarin. So that would be, I will like give kudos when you guys get that. Cause like that's going to really diversify the game. Like language wise, culturally, it's going to really be a big undertaking. Really.
It's honestly probably where we'll get our most black eyes because there's only one good way to roll out humor that is different than, you know, our own culture. We have a multicultural team. We've got team members from different countries already. And it is crazy to me to see how, yes, humor is very subjective and you'll choose the type of humor that you want, you gravitate to. And along the way, I think some of the core principles that we want to build into our own company culture is there's certain types of jokes that I'm not going to put out into the world as the creator for the game. But I also don't necessarily want to put on too strict of guidelines or rails to what can happen within an ecosystem. So there's a lot of learning that we'll do around that, but we do want to be respectful and be able to draw the line somewhere to what is okay and what is not okay within our game system. And leaving a little room to play your own type of humor versus not really liking that type of humor and wanting to do something different, as long as we give some controls on, hey, I just want to play dad jokes, right? I want to be the best freaking dad joke player out there. And I want to be at the top of that leaderboard. I want to earn those tokens for being at the top of the leaderboard. That's what I want to do. Great. Right. I hope that I can get some like 55 or 60 year old guy from Jersey who sit out on a barbecue with some New Balance shoes, flipping the hot dogs on the grill, flipping the hamburgers, you know, and just playing Duo in his hand while he's like cooking burgers. Like that would be like the dream of like, I got a dad to play this game that he probably never thought he would be playing.
Yeah.
And he's probably just chuckling there. You know, like flipping through this. It's like the kids are like, "Dad, what are you doing?" Like, "Hey, I'm paying for the steaks for next week, you know? Like,
yeah.
I'm earning some tokens to go buy some steaks." Like, that would be so funny. I would just like, that's almost worth the whole thing.
Oh yeah. Again, I'm glad that you're wanting to, there is a point to where one probably should draw the line, as you're saying. But the thing is, humor has changed so much. Even like what was acceptable 20 years ago isn't, yeah. It might not be acceptable now. And what is acceptable now might not be acceptable in 20 years. Now, it might be nice to have what, even in 20 years, if something is acceptable now, but not then, it might be cool to have like that historical reference on how humor has changed over time. But
yeah,
there's not a whole lot, I imagine, once it's on the blockchain, it's not something you can really, unless you're setting, okay, these are blacklisted and they can't be played in a game. Like, well, that would be a lot of undertaking. But I'm glad, again, you want to create a certain level of freedom. But again, as you said, guardrails, like there's something keeping you within the lines. Yeah.
Yeah. It won't be absolute freedom because we as humans in society don't do well with absolute freedom.
Oh yeah, that's a lot of responsibility, and you've always got that one person that's like, "I'm gonna get edgy." Okay, like at some point you go from being edgy to just trolling, and that's not okay
to the end, right?
Like, exactly.
What's the nth degree that you can take this to? So, yeah, I mean, if you want the extremes, Duo's just not gonna be the place for you, and that's okay. We're all right with that. But if you want a lot of control, a lot of freedom in what ends up being created, maybe not out of the gate because it's hard to like give it all out of the gate. We want to make sure that gameplay works well. And then as we ease into like, what does it look like to add your own twist, add your own flavor into the whole game economy? And then how do we actually create that game piece and who gets rewarded for it? And how many of them do we make? And those types of things. The things that I do know is it will involve the community in some way, and it will reward the creator in some way. So I'm big believers in rewarding the producers in an ecosystem and an economy. And if you're just coming to troll, if you're just coming to like cause fires and cause issues, then
watch the world burn.
Yeah. If you're just coming to watch a world burn, like maybe you'll be able to make some jokes along the way, but it's not going to be fun for long. So,
yeah. Oh no. But this sounds exciting. And what I really want to ask is, when can players expect to be able to play the alpha or the beta gameplay?
Yeah. You're asking me to put some dates and some numbers on things. So
they don't have to be perfect. They don't, you don't have to be like, it's going to be February 22nd. It doesn't have to be that specific at, and we're talking 1500 UTC, like doesn't have to be specific.
So here's the roadmap that we have planned right now. So we minted our cards last month in October, started the mint. You can still go buy cards. You can still mint cards right now. We wanted to do that in kind of a rolling mint so that we're bringing on new gameplay. We're bringing on new players. We're bringing new cards into the ecosystem every day, every week. So there's new flavor, there's new functionality. And there's new players, which, hey, we're trying to grow a community here. And then Q1 of 2022, we'll be working on creating a wallet and a marketplace experience for Duo. That will really pave the way. It'll set up some of the fundamentals for getting into alpha gameplay. Then alpha gameplay, the realist side of me wants to say like late Q2, Q3 of 2022, because we're managing a few things. One of them is, what are the business operations that we have to get set up in order to run native tokens in a game mechanic for players all around the world? There's a lot of business things to figure out just to like make that feasible and then long-term sustainable.
Yeah.
especially in this shifting world of regulation and all of that that's happening around the world. I think we've got a pretty good handle on that and a path forward. But there's always snags along the way that may be out of our control. Our goal is to have alpha gameplay include a full token economic structure. So what does that look like in regarding access, early access to those alpha gameplay tokens? There's certainly going to be tokens that are allocated to anyone who has one of these NFTs that we mint right now in our Genesis deck. So the Genesis deck NFTs give you access to alpha gameplay. And so this is also kind of like, hey, if you are getting into the project now, if you're supporting us in the early days, we're going to reward you before anybody else gets access to play this game. You'll get to understand how the game works. You'll get access to these early tokens. You'll get those tokens to be able to play with. My goal is to hopefully airdrop those to people. We have to make sure that we can do that. But my goal is to enable that gameplay in a way to where if you've already paid for the Genesis deck NFTs, you don't have to pay us anymore to get access to alpha. Like, you're going to be able to get in. You're going to be able to play it in a way that shows you what the game will be at full launch. And then we hope to launch the full game before the end of next year, as ideally and as soon as we can after alpha gameplay is really working, but most likely in Q4 of next year. So this time next year, hopefully as you go into your Thanksgiving holidays or your Christmas holidays, you can be playing this game. That would be so cool if I end up like, next family gathering for Thanksgiving or the next family Christmas together that we have. It's like, hey, you guys want to like play a game of Duo? Like, let's just have some laughs and, get around the table and play this on our devices. Or I don't know, maybe there's a Jack in the Box like experience where you can play it on the TV and interact with it on your phone. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I know that a lot can change. Like, we're developing a game too. I know you may have one idea and then something comes along that you're like, that's fantastic. Or, oh, this would be a better way to implement social interaction. Like, so I know if anybody who is looking at this, some things could change. Like, there's a baseline concept, of course, but the beauty of it is you're going to work with your community. You're going to say, what would you guys think of this? Because you're building the game. You're building the game, of course, but you're building it for the community.
Right. Oh. Right. Yeah, it's like we're building this game because we want to play it. So
yeah.
if we get to play it and I already bumped into somebody locally who I was chatting with them on something else and like, oh yeah, I got some of like those NFTs that you made. I was like, when did I tell you that I was minting out NFTs? Like, cool. Like, that's so awesome to hear and to bump into people that are like, oh yeah, did you see that card I played in pre-alpha gameplay the other day? And I was like, no, I did. Wait, which name are you in Discord? Cause I don't know anybody. It's like, nobody puts their real name in Discord. And so it's like, so whose profile picture is this? Who would use this anime character? Or
yeah. Oh no. That's the interesting thing about that. But again, this has been super informative, and I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today. Before you go, how can listeners get involved with what you're doing, or how can people best support you and your team?
Yeah, no, well, thank you so much for that. I think the biggest thing, if you're listening to this and you want to help build a community of NFT games that ideally, hopefully, your grandkids will end up playing, come join the Duo community. Join us in Discord. Let's have some laughs together. Tell us how to make this game in a way that fits your lifestyle, fits your humor. But also tell others about it. The goal here is to accelerate the adoption of crypto worldwide. And we're not going to do that if it's just the same people doing the same thing, investing in the same crypto project. So How do you get that barista at your local cafe on board? How do you get your mom or your grandma to like finally figure out what NFTs are and jump into this world and have some fun along the way? That's what our goal is. We want to make it a place that is a lot of fun. So Discord is the main place to connect with us. I'll make sure that that link is in the show notes somewhere here. And then also, you can read some of the articles I'm writing on Medium. Those are linked on our website. Our website's actually getting a bunch of updates here in the coming weeks. So by the time this goes live, you guys will have a lot more information on the getduo.gg. So getduo.gg is our website. And people always ask, why GG? It's good game.
Good game,
it's
yeah.
What you say at the end of the game, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so a lot of non like digital gamers don't know that or don't see it in the live chat. It's like GG, 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 GG.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good game. So we want to have a good game. We want to have fun with people and grow this product. So if that's you, if you want to try it out, if you want to get involved, grab a color card pack. It's 48 for a pack. You get 10 cards, and you'll be in the active gameplay group in which you can see what cards did I get and, you know, what can I play in the pre-alpha gameplay channel in our Discord. And, our hope is, and Conrad, I want to, give you kind of an exclusive on this. Mm-hmm. So if your community would like to be a part of this next transition of our pre-alpha gameplay, we're working on a Discord bot and or a place on our website in which your community will be able to run their own game of Duo as well. And so we will do some rewards and prizes on a weekly basis for winners of those games or maybe the leader for the week of your community's game of Duo. But then you can also offer up prizes and incentives as it fits your own community. And they can play Duo in your community as well as ours. So now there's two rooms happening. You can play twice the number of color cards. And then we hope to expand that to other communities as well to say, hey, if you're running a community in Cardano right now and you want an awesome way to engage your community and then show that you're connected into this gaming ecosystem that's growing in Cardano, as well as discover other communities. Where else can I play Duo?
Yeah.
We'll be posting a location and a list of all of the communities and the channels that are running our Discord bot that allow you to play that game. So open up a channel in your Discord, run that bot, and it will let you play Duo, give you all the shortcuts that you need to look at the assets in your wallet and post those into the channel.
Of course, I would love to have that. And of course, the hardest part of building a community is continuously producing content, getting that engagement. And thank you so much for offering that. And of course, I know many other communities that would absolutely love to have that as a part of theirs. And of course, down below, we will have all of Jason's links there. You'll find the Duo website. You'll even find some of those right below our pictures. So that is something you can check out. Again, thank you so much, Jason, for taking the time. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I'm glad I got to learn about this game because, again, I think blockchain gaming is going to be a pretty big thing. It's a great way to onboard people into the blockchain. It's just a valuable service, and I hope your game does extraordinarily well.
Thank you so much, Conrad. I really appreciate it. It's incredible community that we've stumbled into, and it's. I just want to share one last thing.
Yeah.
Because this really struck a chord with me the other day. We were going through pre-alpha gameplay, and the power of community was highlighted in the fact that there was an individual who had already won, I think that week even, who had already won the rewards for the color card that they chose. And our team picked that individual again. So they're kind of like a double winner that week. And he said, hey, I've already won this week. I would love if I could just pass this winning forward to my choice, the one that I thought was funny this week, because I want somebody else to get involved and to be able to receive these two color cards, which is our prize. And I was like, whoa, I didn't expect that. Somebody to say, I'm going to let somebody else take the value here. I thought that one was the funniest. And they were the ones that we that minted the color cards to. And it was just that great moment of, you know, you're building a good community when people are being generous without any prompting out of their own hearts. And I'll be forever thankful for that individual for setting such an incredible culture in our community. So thank you so much. You know who you are.
Oh, that's lovely. I mean, that's a great community. It really is.
Yeah.
But, and I'm glad that you were able to build such a great community, because I know Cardano is very conducive to building communities, but setting a culture can be a difficult thing sometimes, but having people like that really, really do make that a lot easier.
Yeah, we just set the spark. They're building it themselves. So I'm happy to be along the ride and part of the group.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much again, Jason. This has been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much. I look forward to speaking again soon.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Cardano Convo podcast. If you want an easy way to help us out, make sure to share this podcast. That way we can grow and create a better podcast for you guys. Also, leave us a 5-star review. And if you had feedback on today's episode, tweet us at Cardano Convo. Send your emails to CardanoConvo@gmail.com or join the Cardano Convo Discord server and let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Also, make sure to check out our new podcast website on crypto-loops.com. We'd also like to thank our sponsors. First are our Patreons over on the Cardano Convo Patreon page. Their direct contributions help to make this podcast possible. By becoming a Patreon, you gain amazing benefits such as access to polls to help decide the content of upcoming episodes, early access to videos, roles and benefits within the Discord server, and so much more. Our second sponsor is Loops Pool. If you want to help out the podcast and are looking for a Cardano stake pool to delegate your ADA to, then think about delegating with Loops Pool. That's Loops, L-O-O-P-S. Again, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Cardano Convo.